are amazing. Yeah. It kind of, it's nonsense.
Yeah.
It's kind of stuff.
All right, I'd like to welcome everybody to the normal regular meeting Thursday, March 16th of the Rec and Park Department. And it looks like we have a nice crowd tonight. We always like to have people here, so thank you very much for coming. We're going to, let's see, we have a quorum, so we can establish a quorum. I'd like to start with just a moment of silence, if we could, please. Thank you. And we'll start by a Pledge of Allegiance. Maybe if we could have Skip, you want to go ahead and lead us? Okay, going to start with a couple announcements. I want to start with tomorrow night. We got the spaghetti dinner coming up, which is a great fundraiser for the youth here in the city. It's our 28th annual spaghetti dinner. It's tomorrow from 5 to 7:30 p.m. over at the community center. It's going to be a spaghetti dinner, and there's going to be meatless and meat both there, so you vegetarians can have your way. Salad, garlic bread, dessert, beverages, and takeout is available. So it's very neat. There's going to be raffles there. There's three sets of raffles, so go there, buy a raffle ticket, and they're going to have a cake walk, so you can, you know, walk around the old-fashioned way and get a cake. So hopefully you make it there and have some fun. And tickets are $12 for adults. Children 12 and under are $7. So hope you can all make it. And it just helps get all the youth that can't really afford it. It's the scholarship fund to help them play sports and activities in the city, so we appreciate that. Also, I want to throw out there that we have the Morro Bay, I blew a blank here, garage sale on the 31st. So come on out there, get all your stuff out there, make a big sale. It's usually, I don't know, probably over 100 people by now signed up to do the garage sale. So you can be overwhelmed, but go ahead and out there and have a good time. And I'm going to pass it on, starting with Skip, see if he has any announcements, and we'll work our way across this way.
I'll just report a little bit of information that I got through USAPA on pickleball. Last year, the average amount of courts going per month being installed was 317 per month. And this was not an affirmed amount because they couldn't get all of the calculations in regards to amount of players coming in, but they figured at least 7,000 a month were being included. And even at 7,000 a month, the 317 courts does not satisfy that amount of play. So this sport is just busting out all over. And it's not just here, it's all over. So basically that's my report on pickleball. And of course, also we're gonna be talking about bocce ball, so. We'll talk about that.
Okay, I have no announcements tonight, but I'd like to say welcome to all of our visitors. Nice to see you.
I also have no announcements, and welcome.
And I have no announcements either, but I'm glad to see everybody here. Mm-hmm.
Great, okay, I'll pass it over to Mr. Carmichael.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You guys stole my thunder. I also have no announcements. But Angelica Gallardo has announcements, and Angelica is our youth services coordinator, takes care of our kids' camp and kids' club and special events.
Hi, guys. Welcome. We've got a few things going on at the rec. Sports department has a few things to note. The Coast Girls softball season has just begun. They had their opening day last Saturday. It was a really nice, hot, warm day out there for them. Their adult softball season also started this week. Futsal registration is opened but closes on Friday, so get out there and register. And then their ever so popular junior guards registration opens April 3rd, so that's a date to note. As for kids club and camp, we have our registration for kids club for next school year 2017-2018 is open only for transitional kindergartners and kindergartners at the moment, but will open for all other students on April 10th. Kids camp will be closed for spring break. We aren't holding a spring break camp this year. We have a lot of other things going on. But our kids camp registration for summer opens on May 1st, and camp this year will run from June 19th to August 11th. And then for the Teen Center, they've got a lot of great things going on. Their Teen Action Committee has been really busy volunteering with events all around town. They are setting up the bingo games, passing out flyers for local events, and passing out activity guides all through the town. They're also helping this Friday at our dinner. And then the Teen Center will be hosting their annual Monster Skate competition on April 22nd. And then we've got something else going on. We have a family bike day party picnic at Cloisters Park on April 22nd to kick off Bike Month in May, as well as to highlight our Amgen tour coming through our town.
Any other comments?
Brady, anything from you tonight?
No, just
general comments, if you have anything. And this is Brady Locke, our seniors program coordinator.
Yeah, I don't have anything until the bocce ball comes up, and then I have.
Great.
Okay, back to you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. So we're going to change a couple things around. We're going to start with public comment, but if you have a topic that we're already on our agenda, I hold off your public comments until we get to there, unless you can't wait. And as far as the C items, we're going to move C4 first due to some time constraints of some. We thought they were going to start at 5:30, but we started at 6 because of the previous meeting. So we got some time constraints, so if that's okay with everybody. Other than that, if you have any comment other than agenda items that you would need to speak now, we'll go ahead and take that. And when you come up, please recognize, we'd like to recognize you, state your name and where you live, what town, not your address, but what town, and that'd be good. So do we have any public comments other than the agenda items? Oh, our illustrious city council member.
Hi, my name's Robert Davis, and I live in Morro Bay. I just wanted to introduce myself because the council has appointed me to be liaison to Recreation and Parks Commission, and I want to tell you that the council appreciates your work very much, and we take your recommendations very seriously. And as your liaison, I want to encourage you, if you have any questions or comments about council stuff, feel free to give me a call in between meetings anytime. So, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Robert. All right, so if I see no further public comments, we're going to do the approval of the minutes from our last meeting. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Any seconds?
Second.
Motion is made and seconded. Any further comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries 4-5-0. And then we have a Recreational Service Division status report. Is that already taken care of, or?
You can go forward with another motion and a vote.
Okay. Make a motion to approve the services report that was given to us. Have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Any seconds?
I'll second.
Thank you. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 5-0. All right, so now we'll jump right ahead and we'll do C4. It's the presentation of naming a park after our founder, Mr. Riley. So go ahead.
Good evening, Recreation Commission. Thank you for taking our comment. My name is Joan Solu, and I am here with the Historical Society Morro Bay Board and the board president, Glenn Sullivan.
Yep.
That's Glenn.
Good evening. Also a resident of Morro Bay, of course. Thank you.
Yes, did I say I was a resident? I'm a resident.
of Morbay, just in case I didn't say that. A while ago, the Historical Society started, in 2014, Morro Bay turned 50 years old. But at that, Morro Bay as an incorporated city turned 50 years old. At that time, Morro Bay as a community was turning about 150 years old. And we all took note in the community that there was no recognition of our founder, Franklin Riley, anywhere that we could see. We have lots of recognition to other folks who have come and done great deeds and done things. So we want to talk to you a little bit about some recognition for Franklin Riley and possibly naming some of our remaining open space, which is designated as Open Space Park, to the vein of recognizing Mr. Riley and his significant contribution to our community. So here we are from the Historical Society, and it's working. Very good. Franklin Riley Park. Community members and the Historical Society are interested in recognizing Riley's role in building Morro Bay into the community that we all enjoy today. This view is from an open area on the bluff above Tidelands Park. So you would take the stairs up to the top of Tidelands, from Tidelands Park up to the street that's there. And this area was part of Franklin Riley's original homestead, his original homestead. Oopsie. Franklin Riley founded Morro Bay. He was born in 1832 in Ohio. So if any of you are from the Midwest, he's your kin. He arrived on the estuary in about 1864 as a homesteader, looking for a place that was unclaimed. He died in 1887, and in between, he was our first entrepreneur and developer of Morro Bay. He adopted three children, but had none of his own, and his life is actually a bit of a mystery. There's some blank spots of things, of times. We know some things that he really did, but we don't know a whole lot about him. And they never used to smile back then in those photos, did they? A new town, according to Riley, and Riley as the first developer, he actually laid out the first plot map of Morro Bay. With his partner, Carolyn Mathers, who was a surveyor, he laid out the shape of early Morro Bay, which is still our downtown area today. These are still our downtown square streets that you see today that you walk around to Shine Cafe and the post office. It all exists just like he pretty much laid it out. He also was an urban forester. He believed that in order for the land to be more valuable, he needed to block it from some of our prevailing winds. And if any of you have ever been to a t-ball game in Morro Bay, you're loving when those trees are standing there. Morro Bay's first urban forest was planted by him, blue gum eucalyptus seeds. He used those to create the windbreaks on the edge of the estuary. And it was mostly because the early settlers wanted to grow crops and they couldn't grow anything because everything blew away, all their seeds blew away. So they were trying to create that break. Why did he choose blue gum? Because it grows quick. 6-12 feet in a year, gets real high real fast, and it's adapted to our conditions really well. The animals don't like it very much either. And he championed the tree at the foot of, we believe, one of the specimens that he actually planted, the original specimens, not from the nuts that have fallen or the seeds that have fallen and grown back up, but one of the original specimens is a magnificent tree that stands there, a blue gum, at South Street and Morro Avenue. And it is really, really, as a matter of fact, the walking path goes around it. And it's really stunning during sunrise. Proposed location of Franklin Riley Park, and please note that this is not to scale, the footprint is not. It's a roughed out area done with just a rough line drawing. So you can see that is Morro Avenue at Olive Street and South Street, and that is the Embarcadero down in front. The houses behind that are commonly referred to as Morro Cove. The developer was a gentleman named Wayne Colmer, so sometimes it's referred to as the Colmer Project off of Morro Street. You can see that as part of building the project, the city had him leave the bluff and the trees as open space, and those are mostly blue gums and pines in there. It's a lovely pathway walk that you can see some really beautiful vistas of our bay and the sand spit, and I encourage you to do it. Our proposal for this area is currently an unnamed city park. It's currently an unnamed city park. The proposal includes signage with information about Franklin Riley and his contribution. And the proposal includes signage about the urban forest that exists there. And it is also a monarch butterfly habitat. And this is the type of signage that we are working on. We've already installed one of these hidden history project panels in our community, and we have plans to install several others within the next 2 to 5 years within the community. This one shows the bridge that used to exist that went over to the sand spit. And it tells residents and visitors who may never have known that there was a bridge to the sand spit, that there was once a bridge there. And we'd like to do a similar thing for Franklin Riley. So in the end, what we are asking you for is your support to recognize our founder and establish a city park named after Franklin Riley. Your participation and support from the Recreation Board, Recreation Parks Board, would help us highlight Morro Bay history for residents and for visitors alike. And why Franklin Riley Park? It could become part of a downtown walking tour. It could have the hidden history panels if that's what the commission and the city so desires. And we are doing things to inventory old and historic buildings, buildings of significance, trees of significance in Morro Bay. And we have an ongoing series as a historical society of educational events planned to show these pieces of hidden history to the public. And this would be a great first step for the community to get to know Franklin Riley a little bit further. So if you have any questions, we're here for you. But I just will end this by going back and showing you that park space there. And we are available for questions if you have any.
Thank you, Joan. Oh, you're just waiting for the questions? Oh, I thought you had something. Why don't we start with Kevin, do you have any?
I have no questions. I'm pleased that this is the location that is selected this evening. I anticipated a discussion tonight, and I was hoping it would be this. I think this would be a good spot, and I'm for this project. It is on, but of course I'm not next to it, and so no one can hear me. I apologize. I have no comment other than the proposed location for Franklin Riley Park looks good to me.
Okay, thank you. Brilliant. Thank you.
I also like the location. I can't tell from the picture, is there available parking for people that would be going to the park? Is that there? I can't.
Thank you for asking that. Most of the folks who use the park actually come down and walk it, but there is available parking, and I don't have, but just above the arrow and across the Embarcadero, there's parking at Tidelands Park.
Okay.
With access to the park from the Tidelands staircase. There's also street-side parking. You can see that there's a few cars parked on the street there. That street-side parking goes all the way up to the corner there and goes back. And so there's street-side parking, and there's also parking down below. You'll see two red vehicles, a white vehicle, two gray vehicles, and two white vehicles.
Yes.
That area there is a city parking lot, and it also has a washout station in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Do you know approximately the amount of square footage or acreage?
Thank you for asking that. I do not. And as a matter of fact, it took some communication back and forth to actually get as much information as we possibly could. It's taken us about 6 months to get to this point to gather the information that we could gather through channels at the city and through channels in the community. I am fairly sure that the entire lot, when it was the Colmar project being developed, had to be surveyed, but I am uncertain if the city has ever had it surveyed now as a park. So I don't know the exact survey points or the exact land mass. So not really, to answer your question, but a survey must exist as a single piece of property through the Colmar development.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I can add to that, a couple things. When Joan says we don't have that survey, it suggests that there's a process we need to start here, and I think that's why we're here tonight, is to get it going. You have access to the city's staff and the records we might need to confirm that this can be done and what conditions there may be on this lot. We need to see that and think about it before we finalize this plan. And we're hoping that you can assist with that with your official position and your connection to Mr. Carmichael and others on his staff. So going forward, if you need to have more discussions about this, we'd appreciate hearing from you. We'd be glad to come back. You may want to take, if you reach a position on it that you could recommend it to the council, that would be great. We'd support you, and anything we can do to help, be glad to do that. I should add that Councilman Davis is one of the people who suggested this quite some time ago, so he's familiar with the issue, and I know he'd be supportive, too, of your work. So, okay.
Thank you. Yeah. I think it's an appropriate spot to put it. Do you have any idea of, like, are you just going to put a sign, or is it going to be like a little ground monument also, or?
That's a good question. You know, right now, it's basically a walking park. It's not even maintained. There are a couple benches. Right. We would put a hidden history panel in there, and as Joan said, that beautiful eucalyptus tree, 26 feet in diameter, it's a big tree. That's a champion tree according to the city's tree plan, and we would like to put a plaque on that. We cannot say with 100% certainty that Riley planted that tree, but it's the right age. And he made a point of planting those to create the windbreaks, so it's a circumstantial case for it, and I think a fun way to recognize him. In answering your question, though, Bob, going forward, part of what we need to hear from the city is what can we do there? Mm-hmm. So that would, if there's going to be any more passive use development, that's a future decision that will rise out of that.
Okay, great. Yeah, I think what we should do is recommend that staff do a little more research on it and make sure it can be a park and designate it as so, and what it takes to qualify that, like the survey, for instance, and all that. And I think, are we all agreeable? We should direct staff to follow through on that and even bring it back to, when they get a little more detail on it, bring it back to us again, and we can follow up on some more.
Mr. Chairman, if I might. I just want to clarify the intent of the Historical Society, and at this time, the intent of this item, as well as I understand it from the Historical Society, is not to develop the property as a park, but to place a placard honoring Mr. Riley.
Correct.
That is your intent at this time.
That's the core of it, and to name it that and to say it, put it on maps, mm-hmm. And in the process, to find out what other possible uses there might be of it, given the current conditional use permits or whatever are lying on it because of that development across the street.
Okay, thank you.
During the conversations back and forth trying to find information on the park, there were residents who were talked to in that area, the Morro Cove area, and they're unaware of what restrictions and uses are permitted in that park as well. So it's good for the entire, if this area ends up being the park and the space, that's terrific. If not, it's still a healthy conversation for the community so that we all know what the uses and restrictions are in one of our most beautiful open spaces. So it's a double bonus.
Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
So I do think we should recommend that the staff do follow up on this and do more research and see what happens.
Okay. Well, so, Yeah, so you had two options that were listed in the staff report, but you can modify and then go ahead and make your recommendation and then take your vote.
Does anybody have a motion they want to put on the table?
I'm not sure of the wording, but I would like the staff to further research on the possibility of the plaque, number one, if there's any restrictions. I hardly would think there would be, but there might. And then further, possibly other uses for that open space. And maybe some park development for the area for recreational use and so forth. Thank you. That's my motion.
I'll second that motion.
Motion been made and seconded. Any further discussion? No. Seeing none, then bring it to vote. All those in favor of that motion?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. There we go. Thank you. And so since we are out of order, I think what we'll do is we'll just start from the bottom, work our way back up to the top, if that's okay.
Fine.
So we'll do the expansion of the pickleball facilities. Do we have any public comment on that at this time? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to commission. And we'll start, I know Skip has some more, maybe. Skip, you want to start some discussion on that?
Well, I brought up the point earlier about the growth. I'll just update what I've been doing. I've been on Facebook, and I'm probably up to about 350 people across the nation that were doing discussions about pickleball in all aspects of the sport. Even in other countries, I mean, it is the fastest growing sport. Here for Morro Bay, we're already at our facility. We're getting pretty crowded, which is great. People from other areas are coming here. As a matter of fact, we had a pickleball in the park, and one of the ladies, these people that on Facebook, her and her husband drove up from Pasadena, and they spent the weekend here. So this is just a beginning, and we're talking about putting on a sizable tournament in June, or actually July 4th, that weekend, trying to get it established now. We've probably been averaging probably close to 38 to 40 people in the mornings on four courts, which there's definitely a waiting time, and other people now are establishing times in the afternoon. They're bringing their groups. And again, even people from the valley on the other side, it's definitely going to be, it is already a part, it's a growing part, and it's going to become a very large part of the recreation here in Morro Bay, because it's not just seniors, it's everybody, from young kids right on up. So, and I think we have to look at the opportunities that rest in that can be done. And I just spent a couple weeks out of town, and I was up in the Arizona, the Scottsdale, that area, Phoenix. It's crazy. I mean, the amount of play that's going on. Then I went to up around Prescott Valley, and some of the there's one complex there that they have 16 courts. It's immaculate, and that is a small area in comparison to what we have here, but they're getting prepared for it. And some of the cities, I hate to say it, but there are some cities that they're kind of turning their backs on it, and other cities are, it's just growing, and they're being so supported by the all aspects of the city. So it's something that I think we can take advantage of, and I look at it as part of the economics of Morro Bay. If we can bring people in from out of town, and of course we all live here and we are living in a piece of heaven, they want to share that, and we need to promote that. And I know with my Facebook, We have our own website, Morro Bay Pickleball, and I send that out to everyone that I become friends with, and you should see the responses. Wow, what a place. We're going to be there sometime. You know, so this is just the beginning. So I just think for having a venue like we have, we've got to be looking at making it bigger. So that's basically where I'm at. Thank you.
Well, I'm totally in agreement. I was just coming on the commission when it first surfaced on the concept of developing the courts and so forth. And so I also have done quite a bit of research on the growth of pickleball. And I agree, it's the fastest growing sport in America and all ages. Initially here, it seemed like it was more of a senior activity. But if you go across the country, you see that it's multi-age activity. So I think our vision should be looking for further development because I don't think the sport is going to slow down much in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, a quick question, especially for the two of you that have done so much research on it. When you say that there should be further development and expansion of it, what do you mean by that? What does that mean, besides building new courts, or maybe that's it? Or what's your vision?
Well, one of the reasons, looking at the big picture, for instance, USAPA, that's the National Association for Pickleballers, and to put on a sanctioned tournament. Sanctioned tournaments bring people from all over. When I say all over, I'm talking about even from Canada. So, but you cannot have a sanctioned tournament if you only have 4 courts. They're looking at 10 courts minimum because of the amount of people that come. For instance, the World Senior Games in St. George, again this year, they opened up the website, and in a matter of, I believe it was a little less than an hour, it was totally closed. They had over 1,700 players. That's all they could handle, yet you should see their facilities. And they actually had to add 12 more courts. I'll come back to you and give you a report of the revenue that was brought in for last year's World Senior Games, just for pickleball. That whole event lasts 4 weeks. Pickleball is 2, where they have in the venues. But I will tell you that it's in the millions. It's amazing. Not saying that that's going to happen here, but when you put on those types of tournaments or sanctioned tournaments, you're talking about bringing in a lot of people. It's not 50 people or 100 people for a tournament. You put on a full sanctioned tournament, you're looking at bringing in 300-400 players. And they don't come by themselves, and they need places to stay. And so I'm just looking at it as a financial advantage to this community and to all the vendors here. And we could run what we have the advantage of here more than a lot of places is the fact that our weather conditions, we can run tournaments throughout the year, really. Not saying that we would do that, because it does take a lot of work to run a tournament, but you could run, I would say you could have probably a half a dozen sanctioned tournaments a year, and the numbers are phenomenal. So it's a great game. It's a family game. I know there are people here that play, and so I think it's, we really have to bear down and say, okay, how and where can we build these venues? It's not going to be overnight. It's going to be in some time, but if we do that, this community is really going to benefit.
Okay, thank you. I'm all for bringing more revenue into the city. I have a couple questions, though. As, like in tennis, we can play on grass. Can you play pickleball on grass?
No.
Why is that?
Well, it's the type of ball that's being used.
It doesn't hit the ground, though, does it?
Yeah, it hits the ground.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you couldn't keep it. Okay.
Well, unless you're trying to hit it over Connie's head.
Oh, okay.
Okay. No, it's a game that could not be played on that. It could be played on any hard surface. I know that in other areas where the weather is not permitting, there's a tremendous amount of indoor courts going in now. So, which is being played on a floor like what we're standing on here.
Okay. So. Well, the reason I asked is I know that we are confined as what we can do in this area for, you know, for space. And everybody's vying for the same space. You know, you got the baseball, the basketball, the bocce ball. I love that game. Anyway. And pickleball, all want the same space, soccer, all these youth things. So my biggest concern is, do we have room to do this without eliminating other people? And that's, you know, I like multi-surface areas myself. So if we can build it on a ground that somebody else can play on, I'm all for it. But if it's going to be strictly for pickleball, it'd be tough.
Well, you know, I agree with that to an extent, but you know what? I'll be honest with you. Right next to the pickleball courts, there are two tennis courts. You cannot play anything else on there except tennis because of the surface. If it was a surface like what we're on, you could incorporate pickleball. So I understand your point. It's like what we do at the pickleball courts. It's a basketball court. When it's not being used, we can put up, which we did for a long time, and we still do, because we have an overflow of players. This morning, and just about every day now, we have to put up the temporary courts on the basketball court, because they're not being used at that time. So it becomes a multi-use, which I'm all in favor of that. But there are some areas that, guess what? You're going to only play one sport. I'm not saying pickleball, but other sports. So we have to look at it in a true balance situation. And, you know, a soccer field you can play football on.
Right.
You know, so it becomes multi-use.
Right.
A softball field, I played softball all my life. Guess what, folks? Guess what you play there?
Soccer.
On a diamond. On a softball diamond, you're not going to play soccer on it.
Are baseball fields second for soccer?
So not really.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, you can. Yeah,
you did.
But
it's, you did. Anyway, I don't want to start a
game. All right, no, but
if I might, Mr. Chairman, pickleball requires a hard surface. It can be a concrete surface. It can be a wood floor like we're on right now, or it can be a tennis court style surface.
Right. Okay.
And then the multi-use, as you're explaining, that can happen outside with basketball, with tennis, if it's designed correctly. And just to clarify your comment, yes, we do play soccer, Skip, in the outfield of our softball fields.
Exactly.
So we have to use these fields as a multi-use to squeeze as much as we can out of much use as we can.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like I said, it's bringing money into the city. I'm all for improving it and looking into more expansion of it. But I want to make sure that what we have is maxed out before we go further. I don't want a bunch of fields being empty, just like you said. Okay. Tennis is empty over there. And I don't want that, because that's a drain on our city instead of a positive. And so I think we should look at I know it's just in the mornings, we should build those courts up for the afternoons when they're full, then we can start expanding and we can start now looking for a place to expand, so when it comes time, we can jump right in and do it. And I think I'm all for, you know, researching, finding other places to expand it. So I think we need to make a recommendation to the staff to further search that?
Yes, you can at this time, unless your other commissioners need to comment, or if there's public comment, you can entertain as well.
I have another comment. As we're going through the discussion, and we were talking about the particular tennis courts mentioned over by the pickleball, we also might look at partnerships with school grounds, which have tennis courts. And I believe the tennis courts at Morro Bay High are not grass, are not, I think they're concrete. And with a partnership joining with pickleball use, that's a possibility of usage. So I think there, if we open our heads to all of the facilities in the community, there are places that we could find that would accommodate multi-sports. We, for years, already adopted playing soccer in softball fields and playing soccer on football fields. And we've done that. So here we have a new growing sport for us here in Morro Bay called pickleball. I think we can find locations where we can have multi-use. I think that's possible. Lastly, the difficulty with that is that if we want to go to tournament play, there's particular requirements that are necessary to have courts that are qualified for a tournament. So we're talking about really two different things. We're talking about usage of our current volume of players, and secondly, we're talking about creating revenue and so forth by having tournaments. Those are really two different discussions.
There's one other thing. Talking about schools, Simi Valley, they have 42 courts in Simi Valley. 38 of the 42 courts are on school grounds. They have implemented it, and this is in the middle schools. They've implemented into their physical educational programs. And they've already started youth leagues. So that's what I'm saying. We have a lot of people across the country playing pickleball, but it is in its infancy. And I mean that seriously. And when it starts, it just magnifies. And I've only been here 2 years. I've been playing pickleball, not quite. It'll be 2 years this coming October. It's phenomenal, and it's so fun to see the people that are now coming in after the afternoon. We play from 9 to 12. I left today at 1 o'clock. There were still people playing, and there was more people coming in because that's just open play. And there's a lot more of that happening, and it's just going to continue. And, of course, we've got the snowbirds that come in here, and they're having a ball. And so, again, it's we're just in the infancy, and I think that's the time that we got to look. And it's just like the general plan of the city. You have a general plan. Why? So how do we can have a general plan for recreation. What do we do with it? And it takes a lot of work, takes time, but it's worth every moment of it. So for everybody, from the youth to how old it's going to get. I mean, we've got players. There's a lady out there right now. She's 81 years old, and she's playing pickleball, folks, and she's having fun. And that's what that's about.
Do we have any public comment from the audience? Seeing none, I'll bring it back. Then do I have a motion that maybe we continue the follow-up with this and have staff do a little more research on development and where the courts can be?
I'll make that recommendation.
Actually, I have a comment.
Oh.
You need a second.
Well, make a second.
My second.
Okay, no comments.
All right. Yeah, my concern is I think we have to answer the question whether there's already enough paved space that can be shared and used to accommodate the current need. And the second question I think that needs to be answered is how many people in the community, what's the percentage of folks in our community who actively play pickleball? Other than those two questions, I really have nothing else.
Great question.
I'll make a little comment on that. It's growing every day. I mean, there are people that, which is really amazing, and this goes into other aspects, people that live in an area and they don't know their area, and they've lived there for 10, 15, 20 years. But as the word spreads and people say, me introduce you to pickleball or anything. It's like, for instance, we're going to be coming up about bocce ball, and I'm all in favor of that. Same type of thing. So I definitely believe in multi-use, and believe me, we're probably right now over 300 members. It wasn't 300 last year. It wasn't 200, just a little less. So when you start to look, and each area is going to be different in their growth patterns, but we look at our growth patterns, and it's amazing how many people want to come over to these courts from San Luis Obispo, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton. They're driving over here to play on these courts. And that's because of the quality of the courts and the venue. And it's definitely a venue. And I've been to, believe me, I've been to other pickleball courts. Part of this game is being able to socialize and have fun on those courts. If they were to design pickleball courts and put them anywhere, they could just ditto what we have out there, and people would just love it because of the space that we have. I know that there's people here that have been out there, and they're well aware of what goes on. And if you haven't come out, come out. I'll just bring it up. Pickleball in the Park. We had 8 professionals there. It was free for everybody. There was well over 200 people there for just one day, and they had a blast. And that's what this is about. So anyway, that's my invitation. Anybody would like to come out?
I think the motion was general enough that would include the concerns of these things. So I don't think we need to belabor the information anymore. I think staff understands that it's multi-research into those areas.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor? Aye, aye.
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. All right, moving on to bocce ball. I pronounced it wrong. I'm sorry about that. I love playing it.
Bocce.
Bocce. Any public comments to start out on bocce ball? No? All right, I'll bring it back to the commission. Anybody here want to kick it off?
Well, I know that Brady and I are going to be going here very shortly, looking at different areas. I played it for the first time when I moved here to Morro Bay last year. A gentleman across the street, I think, probably has the only bocce ball court in Morro Bay, and it's on his own property. And it's just, again, it's just a whole lot of fun. It's not a regulation size, but it's about 10 foot wide and about 65 foot long. And he's done everything to make it pristine from all the materials that he used. It would be a professional, competitive, you know, type of venue. But, you know, so which is really neat to have somebody like that in the community. And I'm thinking that we should be looking at an area that would support at least 3, maybe 4 bocce ball courts.
Any comments?
I have a comment. It talks maybe about bocce ball, pickleball too. I think that they sound exciting, and certainly we have some people here that are very excited about it. But I think that we ought to make sure that our community, you know, wants to be a destination spot for pickleball and bocce ball. We might want to be, and we might want to expand these sports because they're fast growing. But there might be people that don't want to expand a fast growing sport here to build bocce ball courts and pickleball courts. And I think that's a discussion that, you know, we should continue to have. I don't know that we've had it yet as a community. I may be wrong, but so that's an input that I think is worth.
Well, I think we should kick it over to our staff, the expert.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We staff did put together some bits of information, a couple of photos of what a bocce ball court could look like, location, dimensions, things of that nature, and then a little bit of a write-up.
I'll go up and do the...
You want to do that?
Yeah, if you can project it.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll go ahead and use the...
presentation to show you what we've got. That's basically what we're doing.
Mr. Locke will go ahead and put some of these pictures up there on the overhead, and AGP is going to help us out with that one.
Okay. Well, let me just, while he's getting ready, give you a little history of how I came into this. I was hired about a year and a half ago, and my supervisor said, first thing she said to me was, I want bocce ball in Morro Bay. And I said, okay. I didn't know a whole lot about bocce ball, but I started the process. And what usually happens in these, I've got a background in athletics, and people get really excited, and they immediately wanted to build courts, and they were showing me where they're going to build them, and this is how we're going to build them, and this is how we're going to fund them. And we didn't have one bocce ball player yet. So I said, oh, wait a minute, let's hold on here. Let's build a base of players. Let's see if anybody wants it in this town. And then we can go to the commission or the city council and say, we've got a base of players. We've got people interested. Now we need some help getting courts. And that's where we are right now. We have a great base of players. We play consistently. We have over 20 people that play regularly. We want to see it. We think we've identified a great site for it, which is not infringing on any other recreational sites. And I think it's a good time for this. So that's the background of it. I'll go over if he's going to get this up or is. All right, that's all right. So. Again, bocce ball's been around for thousands of years. It's a pretty basic game. They play it all over the world. It's one of the most popular all-age sports all over the world. It's not associated with old people, but it's not really just for old people. A lot of people play it as well. There's a local interest. As I said, we have a group of players that play now consistently. It's really only months old. We only really started pushing this a couple of months ago, and it's really starting to go. I think what they like about it, it's really what I call skill friendly. You don't have to have a lot of ability to play. If you can roll a ball, you're already in the game. So as a perfect example, we have somebody who came here tonight. Where's Cindy? Cindy broke her arm or hurt her shoulder and was right-handed, and she threw left-handed today and did a great job. So she's able to do that and still have fun with her off arm. So anyway, it's a low impact. It's not physically demanding. It's easy to learn. The scoring's easy. You can learn it quickly. It's popular for people of 55 and over. Certainly a large part of this population in this town is 55 and over. We've had some snowbirds that come down and play. In fact, we've picked some players up that have just come down and are visiting and have joined us and played when we play down at Tidelands. Again, as Skip alluded to, if we have courts, I mean, this is way down the road, but the possibility is you can have tournaments, people coming in, it works for tourism, they got to stay somewhere, you know, it's a destination spot. The beauty of Morro Bay, of course, is that we can play all year long. And so that's something that's beneficial down the road. We're not really thinking about that right now, but we like it because there's social benefits. Again, everyone can play. You play on teams, and we mix the teams, and it's not an individual sport. It's a team sport, and there's advantages to that. Yeah, let's put that on first. Here's where all. I lost my sheet. Oh, no. Now we're gone. We're off. Okay. And again, we've identified there are other sites, and Skip and I are going to go around and look at some things. But we think we have identified an ideal spot for bocce ball courts. It's a small little. I don't even know if it has a designation of a park. It's right across the street from the community center, and across the street next to Public Works, across the street from the library. You've probably been by it 100 times and not even noticed it. It's a small little corner, and we've done some preliminary work, and we can get two courts in there comfortably, two regulation-sized bocce ball courts in there, and still maintain the integrity of benches and the park-like structure. So it fits in there. And again, what we like about it from the active adults and the community center is that it's so close to us, we can control the balls. People can come over and check the balls out, go over and play, bring them back in, and we also will have some site management on it. So if we can kind of manage it as well. So I like all of those things make it a really healthy site for us. So again, it's. If we've talked a little bit about some city people about getting some help, I don't think it's going to be very expensive. They're not that expensive to make. The materials you make them out of are very basic, and if we can utilize some of the city resources, it could be very cheap. We've got a obligation or a commitment from the organization Morrill Bay Seniors Inc. to help in the funding of that, and so. That helps as well. I don't know what the number is. I wouldn't speak for that right now. But again, once bocce ball courts are put in, they're very easy to maintain. I know Kirk dealt with some of those in San Diego. You do have to maintain them, but it's not an ongoing type of situation where you're putting thousands of dollars in every month or every year to maintain the courts. So that the income, the upkeep eventually will be pretty cheap. And then eventually, again, it's depending on how popular it gets, you can run leagues out of it, and those can all be run through the recreation department, and we can do that. But I think there's a lot of things going for it. We've got some bocce ball players here tonight. If they'd like to talk, that'd be great. But I don't think anyone's ever, did any of you ever play before, really, before we started? So this is really all new to all of us. So it's sort of exciting. They're getting on it at the ground level as well. So. That's what I have. The next one. There's different size courts, but you can have them as long as, you can have them over 100 feet long and 15, 20 feet wide if you want. But you can play them regulation if they're at least 10 feet wide and 60 feet long. Again, we have the space over there to put two of those courts in comfortably. At that size. That's about what they look like. You can see there, you can have sort of a, looks like dirt, you can have a decomposed granite base. And then if you want to go a little bit upscale, they put a clamshell base over the top of them. The outside border is just timbers. It's just wood that they use. So it's really, and that's how they do them. There's nothing fancier than that form. That's how they're made. Worldwide, that's how they're put together. So it's a pretty basic setup. And then it just depends if you want to put cement or anything around the outside. We would make ours wheelchair accessible so that they, obviously, we can get that audience as well. Okay, that's like take a. Thanks. There's the site. If you're that's looking from. Say our parking lot or maybe the fields at the elementary school next to us, across the street at the far end where that roof, you can see the public works, that's the roof of the public works building. Shasta and Dunes. There's been some, I know the landscaping is really nice, but there's been been some homeless activity, and I think they've even taken some of the benches out of there at this point to try to discourage that. But I think that wouldn't be an issue if we have the courts in there and we're able to sort of monitor them daily by the people coming in and out of. And I park my car right on the other side of that. But it's a small little place. I don't know what the city has in mind, but I can't see a better place to put them that's so convenient to everything that we want to use it for. So that's where we'd like to see them. That doesn't mean it's the only place. Again, we're going to look around some more. But certainly to get initially two courts that close to everything, I think it's ideal. That's all I have. If you guys, any guys want to say anything? Or can they say something?
We have a candidate.
Mr. Chairperson, fellow commissioners and staff, and technical assistants. Audience. Brady. Because my name is Tim Rockte. I'm from the South Bay. My kids all went to Morro Bay High. I have the hat, but I don't live here. Anyway, it was about 2.5, maybe 3 years ago, I was already playing bocce ball. And I had contacted the recreation department and investigated the possibility of having bocce ball. And the response was fantastic. However, one person retired, another person got promoted. So, you know, as we all know, it's critical, you know, turnover. But Brady came along, and he's made all the difference. And I want to publicly thank him and recognize him for what he's done, as well as Lawrence Rosen, who has been really carrying the ball, so to speak, and keeping it going. We play. So there's a number of us here that are bocce ballers, and one of the incredible things about this sport is that I think, speaking for all of us, in a period of 2 months, 3 months, we've all gotten a lot better. And it's like you know you can't be cherry picking the team members, you know, to get the ones that are really good, because they're all really good. But we have gone to Tideland Parks, and we do go to Cloisters. If they mow the lawn, which during this season, you know, it has not been well mowed, and it's really hard to play. So it's very, very frustrating. So Brady has once took us up to Tascadero and once to San Luis Obispo. Has anybody been to San Luis Obispo? It's Emerson Park, and it's the one that's where they have a garden. It's across from St. Stephen's Red Gothic architecture and a bunch of the beautiful Gothic houses. That facility is top-notch, and it is accessible for the disabled. In fact, they've got two there. The interesting thing, though, is that it's not getting a great deal of use. And the balls are there in the office. You have to go get them. I bought my own balls. In fact, I bought some for my son that glow in the dark, so when he goes camping, he can play in the dark, and that's a big hit. But apparently people just come out and use it on a as-is basis. I personally feel, having lived in this area for 36 years, the people and environs of Morro Bay would use the facility on a regular basis. You know, they could, you know, we still have to flesh out, you know, details about, you know, are the balls going to be available? But, hey, I got my own balls, you know, and I go to the Emerson Park and use those. And the other thing I want to say is, my wife told me to say this, it's a sport for the whole family. My kids play it. They really like it. And the about being on the decomposed granite, you can actually get the ball where you want it to go. And so the skill level is improved, which means the frustration level goes down, which is important. Okay, well, I think that's all I had to say. But thank you very much for your consideration.
You're welcome. I just have one little comment, even though I pronounced it wrong. I played it for 15 years. I've never played it this way. I played it, I guess you call it street crazy, out in the yard, just throw the little ball out there, and my kids and everybody, we just see who could get closest, knock each other around.
to me, it's exciting. My 3-year-old granddaughter plays it. My 4-year-old plays it. I mean, it's fun for everybody, and you don't especially need a facility. You can play it in your own backyard. That's where we always played it, at the park, just go to the park and play. But this sounds like it could be exciting too. Is there such a thing as, I mean, my kid can't throw it 60 feet. Is there a way that you could do half courts and all that on there too for younger kids? Is there such a program as that?
I have seen designs where they have cut it down by using the wires.
Could you give me the question one more time, make sure I get it right?
Is there a way that you could make it a smaller for children so they can get everybody into it? Because
yes.
60 feet is a long ways for some people yes. to throw it.
You can just you can get chalk and make lines. And in fact, different, if you pick up any book on bocce ball, they're going to tell you it's whatever size you want it to be. You know, unless you are getting very serious about it. But I was actually in Germany and they were playing it, but it was with steel balls. And one jumped the curve and came over, you know, to my good, nice Italian dinner. But I was happy, too, because I wanted to pick it up and see what it looked like. But, you know, these are ceramic kind of balls. If you haven't seen them, we should have brought you some show and tell.
And they play different size balls as well. So there's different variances.
Okay, thank you. We have another public comment.
My name is Cindy Batant. I live here in Morro Bay, and I'm part of Brady's group. I did have an injury, so I've been kind of intermittent, but I'm back to playing left-handed. I'm also part of the Estero Bay Newcomers Club. We have probably about 180 members right now this year. And the Estero Bay Newcomers Club also has a focus group, which is a bocce group that gets together and plays once a month. We maxed out our group in a relatively short time of 12 members, and now they'll be spinning a second group off. So this is also taking hold amongst our group, too. People are very interested in playing, learning to play, because as it was said before, it's a really simple game. You can have fun at any skill level. And just to talk about the 3-year-old playing, it doesn't really matter how long the court is because you throw the target ball. So if a 3-year-old only throws it 6 feet, that's the game that you're playing. So it doesn't matter whether the court is 60 feet long. You can play at any skill level.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment before we close? Okay, bring it back. I think staff had a comment. No? No. Any other comments from the commission?
Myself, I'm just all in favor of it. I think it's another great sport for families, total from children to seniors. And I got my first time was last year, and I got called from across the street. Carl says, "Skip, come and play." I'd never played bocce ball. I said, "Okay." And he had a couple buddies of his, and they needed a fourth. And I filled in, and I think it was about 2.5 hours later of play. We were all done and had a great time. And as a matter of fact, it's just like pickleball. I got hooked on bocce ball. If they had the courts, I'll be there playing. No courts, you know, but when you have the facilities, people will come, folks. They just do. Not everybody. It's not for everybody, and there's nothing that I've ever found in life that's for everybody. So bocce ball, pickleball, whatever you like, let's do it.
Jeffrey?
Okay.
No comment?
Yeah, I have a couple comments. One is that I would hope that the homeless have access to the balls like anybody else so that they could benefit from playing a great game. Because I think the sign of great recreation is when it brings community together. So you never know who you might meet on a bocce court. The other thing that came to mind is in San Luis Obispo, Emerson School, that's the site of Parks and Rec. So what occurred to me was, wait a minute, why not put it in the park right next to Parks and Rec? There's much more room. And there's quite a bit of that grass area. No, she's shaking her head quick on that.
It's a school.
That's not a city park. That's a school site.
I get it. And in the same way that pickleball can use school, sometimes overlap,
yes,
that's a possibility. I'm just throwing it out
absolutely
there. There's one of the reasons, though, too, is if you bring, it sounds like this is also a growing sport. And if you have a bunch of folks that want to use those two courts on that corner, that corner doesn't provide a lot of room for people to be around, milling around, you know, if you had two full courts, because it would take up almost the whole space. So, again, if it were across the street next to Parks and Rec, you could put them, there's a ton of space there, and certainly more room for folks to mill around. That's it. That's all I have.
Kevin?
No. I have a question for staff. In regards to the utilization for school grounds, can we look into that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm sure that there's going to be some kind of a liability issue situation to look at, you know.
We can take a look at it.
Okay.
I think one option, too, if we, you know, if the schools allow it, is those edging, you know, they have those long, look like fake logs where you can staple them all together. You could even make the boundary on the grass for that, and you could set up any length for children and adults. So I think that would work too, but sure, that way it's still multi-use. You tear that up and you can still use it for soccer or whatever. So that's, do we have a motion on here to pursue this further into discussion and let staff look at it further?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussions by anybody? Seeing none, okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0, so staff can look into that a little further and pursue it, see what we come up with. Appreciate that. Okay, brings us into our, everybody's still here. Wow, this is exciting. Must have some really public input coming up here. C1, we're up to C1, which is election of commissioner, chairperson, and vice chair. Oh, now they're running. When you mention the elections, they're poosh. Thank you for coming, everybody. Appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, so I guess we'll open the floor for nomination of, we'll start with chairperson. Any nominations?
Well, because Drew isn't here this evening, I think we should nominate Drew. I'm joking. Joking.
He's done it 2 years. I don't know if he wants to do it some more, but we'll see.
Bob, I nominate you.
Oh, thank you.
I have a question.
Yes.
I don't know what the urgency is, but I would feel more comfortable if Drew were here and we were fully paneled in picking leadership. I think that it's indicative to situations if you leave somebody out. They don't feel part. And so I don't know the urgency of this. If there is one, then please address it. But if there isn't, I would like to postpone the election until we have full panel.
I don't have the answers on the appropriate rules of order regarding this, if we need to have a chairperson to open up our next meeting or not. Informally, I would say we could go ahead and table that. However, keep in mind, it's a 7-member board, and tonight, as you see, there are only 5 of the 7 members present. And this could be an ongoing delay. But I am certainly open to however your board would like to move forward.
I'll make a statement. I'll concur with what my friend here said, because if we can have the 7, that would be great. But since we've brought this point up, then they, as like Michelle is not here, they're made aware of the fact that we need to have them here. But if they cannot make it, then they're aware of the fact that they're not going to be left out because they've been told that this is really something that's serious and we should have it. And I would like to see everybody here myself too. And so if we could do that, I would be fine.
Mr. Chairman, then I'll go ahead and let you go ahead and make that call.
Okay, it's fine. Does everybody feel the same?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, so I make a motion that we table this until all seven show up next year. All those in favor?
I second.
Okay, all in favor?
Comment? I liked what you said, Skip, that and what you were saying, that it might be ongoing. We don't have seven. So maybe I want to add an amendment to the motion that we make an announcement to all panel members that this event is going to occur, and we would like for them to, all of us, to be there. And then if somebody doesn't show, at least they've been given the opportunity to make sure they're here, and then we can move on with the nomination. That's a very long amendment, but if you want to follow Robert's rules, I guess we have to do that. But the amendment needs a second. So,
well, if the amendment's going to go through, I'll second that too.
Okay, so we have it that we're going to hold off the meeting, going to give them a notice ahead of time that the next meeting is going to be for elections. They need to be here. If they're not here, then we'll still run with it because it's going to take forever to get everybody here. We've never had seven here yet.
All right.
So next meeting will be the deadline, which the meeting will be the April 20th, was it?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, April 20th.
April 20th meeting. So when we blast out the email with this, make sure it's in bold that this is going to be an election and they need to be here. All those in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So next meeting will be the election no matter what.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Then does anybody have any future agenda items other than this election? Kevin? Do you have anything?
No.
Any future items you would like on agendas down here? Anybody? Skip?
At this point.
Jeffrey? No. All right. I think that's it. Oh, I would like to make one final announcement. The Morro Bay cleanup is the day after our big garage sale. So that, just everybody aware that we do have the big cleanup coming. That will be April 2nd through the 5th, I believe. And with that, I'll officially close the meeting. Everybody have a great day. And until next April 20th, have a good one. Thank you.
Okay. Got it. Very good. Good job.
It was from the.
I'm going to put it back.
It was sitting in there?
I know who was sitting there. Yeah. And I think they also might have left it.
Okay. I think I know who that is.
You know, the bag's empty.
But I know who was sitting here. It was. By the beads.
By the beads, I don't know.
She has by the Morro Bay by the beads, or Bay by the beads downtown.